And I find this very interesting because you can count the number of today's preachers and teachers who are warning God's people about a spirit named Antichrist with one hand. Very few even understand such a spirit exists today. Well, John informed these brethren that Antichrist, the one they're waiting, the spirit that they're waiting to come, had already come. Why did he have to tell them that it had already come? Why didn't they realize it had already come? How come they didn't understand it already come? Well, you're going to find out back in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 19. He says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt continue with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Now, John said, "Ye have heard that Antichrist," singular, "Antichrist shall come." That's twice now. Twice he said these brethren had been warned about an entity named Antichrist that was to come in the future, and it's a spirit. Then he says, "Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." In other words, these brethren were warned about an entity named Antichrist, which would be a spirit, which would come in the last time. Apparently, John was familiar with what they had been taught, and also he recognized that the spirit had already begun to move, had already come, was working in the fellowships. And so he told them they were in the last time back then. He said they could know they were in the last time because the entity they had been warned about, which is going to come in the last time, had already come, had begun to move in the churches. Now, his purpose for telling them that this was not to deny the teaching they had already received regarding the coming of a singular entity named Antichrist. He wasn't trying to replace the idea of a single Antichrist with the idea of plural Antichrist. His point was to let them know they were in the last time, even back then. And the entity they were warned about come in the last time had come. So they could know they're in the last time, you see? Does any of that sound familiar? Well, it should, because, see, John was faced with the same kind of situation we're faced with right now. People in his day were looking for a singular entity named Antichrist to arise, but they couldn't recognize the spirit of Antichrist when it began moving in their midst. John had to tell them. He had to point it out to them and give a test and show them how to recognize it. And today, God's people do the same thing. They're looking for a singular entity named Antichrist to arise, but they can't recognize the spirit of Antichrist that's freely moving in their midst right now and destroying them, left and right. That spirit is working right under our noses, and we can't see it, just like it was working right on the noses of the brethren in John's day, and they couldn't see it. Now, back then, Antichrist was simply denying the incarnation, and as we're going to see, he was also denying that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. Today, it's doing a lot more than that. It's counterfeiting the person, the presence, and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a lot more dangerous today than it was back then. 2 John 1:1-6. He talks about this again. 2 John 1:1-6. He says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." So now in John's second letter, he restates the same basic idea he did in his first letter regarding the spirit of Antichrist refusing to confess that Jesus is come in the flesh. Only this time his emphasis isn't on the spirit itself so much as it is on the men who are walking under the influence of that spirit. Okay, he says many deceivers, people, humans, have entered the world. And they do this, they say the same thing the spirit says. Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, okay? Also, notice what he says after warning the brethren about the Spirit, okay, and about being involved with people who are walking under the influence of the Spirit. And in the very next verse, he says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Well, I thought the next one was verse 8. It's actually, that was verse 1 through 6. Verse 8 says this: "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." So he tells the brethren, they got to pay attention to what they're doing. Pay attention to who they're involved with. Pay attention they don't get involved with these people who are under the spirit of Antichrist. Because if they do, they're going to lose the things they've gained. They're not going to receive a full reward. All right? In other words, he said that the spirit can cause them to lose what they've wrought in Christ. A spirit can cause them to lose what they've wrought. A demon spirit named Antichrist can keep them from receiving the full reward Jesus prepared for them and purchased for them at Calvary. So much for package deal Christianity. All right? So much for package deal Christianity. That's a lie. You don't get it all automatically. All right? Now, back to 1 John. 1 John talks about another attack, another line of attack from the spirit of Antichrist. I think it's different than denying the incarnation. 1 John 2, 21 through 23. He says this. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lies are the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Okay, who is he the liar but he denieth that Jesus is the Christ? That Jesus is the Messiah. All right? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So here we see another tactic of Antichrist, which is another frontal attack on a doctrinal truth. The truth that Jesus is God's Messiah. And in my view, you take it with a grain of salt, but it's my view, this is not an attack on incarnation per se. You notice John didn't repeat the phrase he's always repeating there, is Jesus has come in the flesh. When he's talking about the incarnation, he says Jesus has come in the flesh. That's what the incarnation is. This is something different. He's saying Jesus is not God's Messiah. He's using different terminology here because I think he's talking about a different type of attack. And I think he's talking about another group of people, not the Gnostics. So to me at least, it's clear that the way he phrases his thoughts here in this passage, that he's talking about people who acknowledge the Father but who reject the Son. You know, he says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And just the way he says it there, it gives you the idea that he's talking about people who accept the Father, who believe in the Father, but won't accept the Son. To me, that shows the issue is not the incarnation, but a specific rejection as Jesus, as the Son, as the Messiah, as God's Messiah. And in my mind, there's one group that fits that bill better than the rest at that time, and that's the Jews. But regardless of who it is, I believe it's a different line of attack, and it's a different group of people he's talking about, and it's attacking Jesus as Messiah. Now, so far, when you read these passages, you can see that this entity known as the Antichrist is first and foremost a demon spirit, a religious demon spirit who seduces people regardless of the work of Jesus Christ. And that, in turn, makes those people human antichrists. And I believe there's no fundamental difference in my mind, my view, between being against Christ by denying his attributes or one of his attributes, or being against Christ by trying to counterfeit his attributes. To me, it's the same kind of attack. It's just two different sides of the same coin, heads and tails. All right? In both cases, people are being led away from Christ by the Spirit, and they become the enemies of Jesus. So I don't agree with Mr. Vine's conclusion that the pseudo-Christos, that is the false Christ Jesus talked about, are different than the Antichristos in John, the spirit of Antichrist in John. I think they're all walking in the same spirit. It's just a different line of attack. The false Christ coming in our day are attacking the faith, are attacking Jesus in a different way. They're still in the same spirit, but they're attacking a different way. They're trying to replace Christ. Instead of denying doctrinal, theological truths about Christ, you're trying to actually replace him. Now let's go back to what Jesus said again about these many Christians and the way or how they're going to be deceived in the last days. He said to cause this deception is going to be great signs and wonders. And he's talking about supernatural experiences now. He's not talking about wrong doctrine. I'm not saying wrong doctrine won't play a part. I'm saying what Jesus was talking about, the main issue there, the very dangerous thing he's talking about is experience, wrong Christian experience, not doctrine. Now, do you remember what I said the other week when we talked about the man of sin who comes into the temple, takes a seat in the temple? Do you remember how he gains access to the temple of God in 2 Thessalonians 2? He gains access to the temple by supernatural means, by power, signs, and wonders, lying wonders, okay, which come from Satan. At 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Now, do you think it's a coincidence that Jesus and Paul both talked about demonic experience posing as Christian experience? All right, demonic experience posing as Christian experience being the downfall of many in the last days. Do you think that's a coincidence? They both talked about that same kind of thing. Well, I don't. I think they're both describing the same thing from different perspectives. Okay? Let me read you a couple of scriptures yet here. One's going to be in Daniel. One's going to be in Revelation. Daniel 7, verses 20 through 22. Daniel 7. Daniel sees his vision of his beast. He's going to describe some of it. He says, of the 10 horns that were in his head, and the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld unto the same horn, made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Okay? Revelation 13, 5 through 7, John's talking about the same beast, the same kingdom, and he says, and there was given to him a mouth, speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, if all we had to go by were the words of Jesus so far in Matthew 24 and what we described the other week in 2 Thessalonians by Paul, then maybe the view I'm advancing here could be challenged with other scriptures. See, but the fact is, the view I'm putting forth is confirmed by many other passages of scripture, just two of which I just read. Both Daniel and John, both prophets of God, were shown the same end time global empire in the last days, okay? And both these men were shown this incredible wicked entity, how it would arise. And Daniel saw his manifestation as a little horn. John saw it as a beast. Both men said this entity would be given power to do certain things that we just don't like to read, that we like to ignore, that we wouldn't like to meditate on at all. They said this entity will be given a mouth that speaks great things against God, meaning it's going to blaspheme the name of God, the temple of God, and it's going to be given power to make war with the saints and overcome them. Make war against the saints and overcome them, okay? Now, most Christians don't have any desire to read or meditate on this portion of the Bible. They would much rather go through the book and read all the positive things it says about them and about heaven, all right? They want to read and meditate on all the blessings. They want to read about how they're going to be raptured into heaven before they have to experience anything too horrible. Or they want to read how they're going to take over God's kingdom before anything happens. They're going to defeat the devil and establish the kingdom of God for him, all right? Which is another equally gross error. But see, if you claim to be a lover of the truth, if you claim to love the truth, then you're going to love this truth just like you love every other truth of the Bible. And no, it won't make you happy. And no, it won't be uplifting. But you should love it just the same because it's the truth. According to the scripture, according to the scripture, not just according to Dan Mace's personal pessimistic opinion, all right, in the last days, Satan is going to make war on the saints. And many, many of your brethren are going to be overcome. Not some, not a few, many of them are going to be overcome. That means it's very likely that people you know, maybe even those of your own family, are going to be overcome in these days. And they're going to be overcome through demonic spiritual experiences, which they assume to be coming from God, but which are in fact coming from religious demons who are imitating the person and work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. See, this is the test. This is the final generation, the test of the final generation, which we are, our believers, is going to face. And very few of us are prepared to face it. Because we're all worried and focused on doctrine. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. Hey people, this ain't about doctrine. This is about experience. Who are you listening to? What voice are you following? Okay? Doctrine's important. Getting our doctrine straight is important. But what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24 is not about doctrine. He's talking about experience. He's about getting in tune with the wrong spirit. Okay? Having a relationship with the wrong spirit. And people read that, what he says there in Matthew 24 about signs and wonders, and they just think of people like Todd Bentley or some Middle Eastern religious guru or something. They don't understand what Jesus is saying. Okay? They're not getting it because of all the doctrines in their head. All right? The wrong doctrine. pardon me. See, because of all that error, they're taught regarding redemption and more specifically about demons, well, demons can't do this and demons can't do that. They can't confess Jesus Christ. They can't confess Jesus. Come confess. They can't talk to you. They can't hurt you. They can't. All that crap. Because they've been taught this, they don't have any idea how to protect themselves against these kinds of spirits. They don't know how to tell the difference between spiritual experience that's real and spiritual experience that's counterfeit. They just assume spiritual experience comes from God if you're a Christian. That's God's job. He's supposed to protect you, right? And unless God intervenes in their lives in a mighty way, the man of sin is going to take a seat in many, many, many believers in the following months. I promise you. Many of us are going to become completely, going to make the temple desolate, portions of the temple desolate. This is why I spent the last 15 years warning anyone who would listen to me about the reality and the danger of this spirit, this Antichrist spirit. I'm telling you, most of those who claim to be Christians right now, they're going to succumb to this spirit in the coming months. And the goal and the desire of Antichristos today is not to deny the incarnation, is not to deny that Jesus is God's Messiah, is to become your God. That's his goal, that's his desire, and that's what he's working towards. So you got all these people out there saying, Antichristos, yeah, Antichrist, oh yeah, we know what Antichrist does. Antichrist, he denies that Jesus can come in the flesh. What kind of immature, carnal stupidity is that? You let people wide open to all the things the Antichrist is capable of doing. He said, well, this is what Antichrist does. Antichrist can only deny the incarnation. That's all he's capable of doing. So you don't have to worry about that. As long as you're not denying the incarnation, or you're not involved with anybody who's denying the incarnation, you can't be on the spirit of Antichrist. It's not possible. That's the only thing he can do. I mean, can you see how Satan has worked his web of deception in everybody's minds so that people are not incapable of understanding how to recognize the things going to kill him in the last days. Like I said, that's why I've been spending the last 15 years warning anybody who listened to me about the reality and the danger of this Antichrist spirit. It counterfeits, it duplicates, it replicates everything the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Because his goal is to take its seat in our lives, which is God's temple. Its goal is to show us through experience, not through doctrine, through experience, by supernatural means, that he is our God. And he's going to accomplish that goal in the lives of many, many, many people before it's all over, my friends. That's why I've said this on several occasions. I'm going to say it again here at the end here. For every 10 Christians you know, you can be sure that at least half of them are involved with religious spirits. Counterfeit Christianity, that is demonic Christian experience, posing as true Christian experience, is the deception the final generation must face and overcome. You're all going to face these spirits wherever you turn from here on out. I'm declaring you by the name of the Lord, that's true. You'll never be able to get away from them again until the Lord returns from here on out. They're going to be in your family. They're going to be in your friendships. They're going to be in your work relationships. They're going to be in your church relationships. You're not going to be able to get away from these spirits. Because this is the test God has ordained for the last generation. And nobody's going to get away from them. Nobody. They're going to be coming at you from every direction, especially ministers. And even if you manage to cut yourself off from every living creature on this planet, live in a cave somewhere by yourself in order to avoid these spirits, it still won't do you any good because they're still able to talk to you directly from the spirit realm. There is no escaping them. You only have one option. One option if you want to be victorious and you don't want to go down in the final hours of this age. You have to learn how to recognize these spirits in those around you and learn how to recognize them when they start talking to you directly or moving in your life directly from the spirit realm. Either you learn how to fight them and win now or be overcome by them in the future. That's your only choice. I'm sorry. And I realize this is going to sound overly dramatic, maybe even bizarre to some of those who are listening to this. But I can't help it, people. It's the truth. And I have to speak the truth. And I can tell you this with all confidence and boldness, too, on top of that. Everyone is going to acknowledge that what I've been saying for the last 15 years is true. One day. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to be around. I'll be long gone by the time they do. So I won't be getting any glory out of it, and I won't even care at that point. But they're all going to acknowledge that what I was been warning for the last 15 years, they're all going to acknowledge is true because Jesus said it, the Apostle Paul said it, John said it, Daniel said it, and there are people like me all over this planet who are saying it. under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Counterfeit Christian experience, that is demonic Christian experience, demonic experience guised as Christian experience, is the deception of the last days that Jesus warned about in Matthew 24. And every child of God is going to be tested or tempted by it. You can't get away from it. That's part of God's plan. The only question is, will you overcome it, or will it overcome you? That's the only question. So that's why I've been trying to expose this thing, bring it up in the open, have people at least look at it and acknowledge it, and then ask God to show you, because I can't show you how. I can't lead you and guide you in this. All I can do is get you to turn your eyes to the truth. Desperately seek God to show you how to recognize these spirits, how they're moving in your life, how they're moving in your family's life, how you're moving in your friend's life, your fellow Christian's life, how they're moving, how to get away from them, how to overcome them, how to live with them and not be under them, and all kinds of stuff. God has to teach you that. It's God that teaches our hands to war, David said. It's God who teaches our hands to war. I can't teach you how to war. I wish I could. I'd set up a free course. Everybody would come live in my house and show them. You know, I wouldn't charge them a dime. But I can't do that. God has to show you how to war. He has to teach you how to war. But if you're not looking for that, if you don't understand you have to war, if you don't understand what you're up against, nobody's going to be asking God to teach them anything. Maybe you sit back and relaxing and wait for the rapture, or just wait, whatever your doctrine is. All right? So I know it's not a pleasant subject. I know it's dark. But if you accept the truth, God will teach us how to war, and we will be victorious. We will not be one of those who goes down. That's the whole point. To not go down. Be one who doesn't go down in the end. And God's pouring out his truth. He's pouring out his revelation, spiritual illumination, revelation knowledge on those who have an open heart, so they will be prepared, so they know how to fight, so they will fight, so they'll get the victory. All right? Anybody who goes down in this hour will go down because they weren't open to hear the truth. They're stuck in an old doctrine, and they won't accept this, they won't accept that, they don't think this is possible, they don't think that's possible. All right? They're too proud to be taught. They got the little doctrine set, that's it. And they're going to go down. They are going to go down. So it's their fault, but it's depressing at the same time. But what are you going to do? Except try and warn people, get them ready, get them on the right track, and get them before God, seeking discernment in this area, seeking how to war in this area, seeking how to overcome in this area. That's the only thing I can do. Okay? Now, I'm going to do that till the day I die, because I don't want anybody's blood on my hand. So if that's too depressing for you, you have to find yourself another brother to listen to. There's plenty of chat rooms out there that are preaching positive things, and plenty of ministers out there preaching affirmative messages, very affirmative messages, okay? But I'm speaking the truth, brethren. I am speaking the truth. And the truth will put you on the path to victory and keep you from being a victim in this hour. All right? All righty. Amen. That was about it. It wasn't very long, but it was just something the Lord made real to me. I was reading Matthew 24 this week, and I saw that before, but it just sort of emphasized, and I got what that Bible teacher say? He had a epiphany. I had epiphany this week. Yes, this I had epiphany too. This is my epiphany. Okay. Amen. All right, that's about it. Anybody have anything like to share, add, or question, or whatever? Feel free. Don't be shy. Listen, I'm telling you, God's going to make this real to you all if you accept it. I mean, he'll bring the situations. Well, you're going to see it. You're going to experience it. You're going to run into people who have that spirit, have this religious spirits. He's going to confirm the word I'm speaking to you because it's the truth. I mean, I don't know a lot of things about the end times. I'm not a big guy on Revelation. I don't know a lot of timing. I'm not a prophetic guy. I can't tell you a lot of prophetic things. But I know this. I know what I'm telling you tonight is true. And God's going to confirm it. He's going to bring you guys into the situation. If you're open, he'll lead you into situations where to confirm this. And you'll run into people who have these spirits all the time. You'll start running into him right and left. And you'll have to go to God and say, oh, God, help me. I believe this guy does have a religious spirit. I don't want to come under it. How do I deal with this? How do I deal with it? Looks like Kim. Say, go ahead, Kim. You got the mic.
Hi, Dan. I just wanted to say that I really need to hear this tonight, and it is very sobering, but we need to be sober if we want to survive. And I just thank you for the truth that you're bringing forth from the Lord. And thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it. Looks like, wait a minute, here we got Sister Sissy. Go ahead, Sissy. You got the mic.
Hi, Dan. No, I just wanted to let you know that the Lord shed some light on some of this tonight. It's like a, like he just showed me something. It's just something lit up. I don't know, when one of the scriptures that you were reading in John, in 1 John, and I thank the Lord for that, because it had to be him, and it's just incredible. Thank you so much.
Well, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, stand fast. You got the mic.
Oh, hi. Yes, thank you, Dan. It's very enlightening and very interesting. Praise God. The part about the lying signs and wonders, the signs and wonders will be real. It's the source that it's a lie. It won't be of God. Is that what it's saying there? That's the way I understood it. Okay, so, again, thank you for your teaching. God bless.
Yeah, that's right, Stefan. They are very real. Genuine miracles. Genuine miracles. Just the wrong source. And that's one of the things these preachers are telling people. The devil can't do real miracles. What? That's setting them up for a deception. If you believe that the devil can't do a real miracle, and all of a sudden you're faced with a real miracle, guess what? So, it's very serious business here. And let me say another thing about these miracles. It's not just the mighty, you know, miracles, 3D Technicolor sky-opening miracles that, you know, they're going to be going on like Todd Bentley people, some of them do. It's going to be the little miracles in your life that you recognize how God talks to you. That's the real thing I'm concerned about. I mean, if you look at Todd Bentley, oh, you have to look at that guy. I'm just using an example. He was the last big revival here. You look at that guy's face, man. You know he's demonic. I mean, only a moron, a demonic moron, would tattoo all his face, all his body, okay, and be that kind of appearance. So the other guy's false. Just looking at him, he's probably half his miracles is all lies. But I'm sure there were some real miracles going on there, all right. And everybody's doing that kind of thing. But what about the little miracles, the little things in your life that only Jesus does, that only you and Jesus know about, you know? That he does confirm his word and things like that. Those are the kind of miracles that also Antichrist is going to do to get in the temple. See? You might be able to recognize the miracles of Todd Bentley as false. But when it comes to your little miracles, you know, and your little life, that's a different story. He might get you in that little angle. You don't think he's capable of doing that. See, so it's not just the big 3D Technicolor miracles. Everybody's bigness. It's going to be the little things he's counterfeiting in our lives. You know, between us and the Lord. That's where the real deception is. So that's what we need to be watching. And all these doctrines people are taught, they preclude any of this stuff from being true. I mean, you're taught eternal security, and the Christian can't have a demon, and the demons can't touch you, and God's responsible to keep you safe, and the sovereignty of God, the love of God, blah, 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 on and on it goes. There's no way you can accept or be ready for what's happening, what's coming down the pike. It's impossible. You're just a train wreck waiting to happen. So, man, these ministers are going to have the blood of thousands, tens of thousands of people on their hand when they stand before God. And I don't want to be one of them. Even though I'm only ministering to 10 people or 5 people or whatever it is, however many it is, I don't want the blood of anybody on my head, brother. Not one. Yeah. God will keep me safe. That's a big one. God's responsibility to keep you safe. Yep. That'll send more people to hell than most, than anything else, probably, except eternal security. Stanfest says, I have a friend who had some kind of religious experience with a Jesus, and talking to her is like talking to a brick wall. Amen. There you go. Looks like we got Harold or Judy. You got the mic. Go ahead.
2 Timothy chapter 2. I was reading this the other day, and it really spoke to me concerning where we're at, particularly in this chat room. And I just wanted to read some scripture to you. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And continuing on to verse 22, 23, same chapter, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strive. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them to repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captives by him at his will. And as you are ministering and bringing forth this strong word, you're bringing forth the people that are going to know this thing. This thing is being committed to those that are faithful to what God wants to do. So this came to me very strongly. And that last scripture, that is the whole purpose, is that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen. So God bless you. Appreciate you.
Amen. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate it. Well, that's good. That's all I'm trying to do is get God's people established in this truth. God's got to take care of the rest. He's got to teach you how to war. He's got to show you how to do it. He's got to give you discernment. You know, all I'm trying to do is point you to the right path. So if everybody's getting it, that's good. Amen. All right. Anybody else have anything to share? Well, when are we going to do an open mic next? Is everybody ready to do an open mic again soon? Don't everybody speak at once. Okay. All right. Well, anybody else have anything? Before we shut her down here, I guess last call. Okay. Well, thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for putting up with me, with my gloom and doom. And appreciate y'all coming. So we'll see you next week, God willing, in the River Don't Rise. Be good.